Very good morning to you all, and welcome to day 9 of our 40 days Lenten prayers and reflections. Today is Friday, 26th February 2021. God's salvation is at hand for those who fear God, that His glory may dwell in our hearts and in our lands. Lord God, Your word is not distant, Your love is not rationed, Your grace is at hand. For You are present with Your people as we call upon You. We come to bless You as our Creator and as our Savior. We come to honor You as our God. You are our Heavenly Father, revealed through Jesus Christ, Your Son, and we have come to delight in Your word and to be transformed by Your love. Enlighten us, O Father, and delight our hearts, and transform us into people who will be better equipped to do what You have called us to do. Amen. Listen now for the word of God. It's Hebrews chapter 2, the verses 10 to 18. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what He suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, "I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly I will sing your praises." And again, "I will put my trust in Him." And again He says, "Here am I, and the children God has given me." Since the children have flesh and blood, He too shared in their humanity, so that by His death He might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For surely it is not angels He helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, He had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that He might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus Christ is the pioneer. That is a great title that the writer to the Hebrews uses of Jesus in our text. He calls him the pioneer of glory. At its simplest, the pioneer means head or chief. And it is used of the founder of a city or of a family or of a philosophic school. It can be used in the sense of a source or origin. A pioneer is one who begins something in order that others may enter into it. He or she begins a family and others are born into it. He or she founds a city in order that others may someday dwell in it. He or she founds a philosophic school that others may follow him or her into the truth and the peace that they have discovered. A pioneer is the author of blessings into which others may enter. This is what the writer to the Hebrews means when he says that Jesus is the pioneer of our salvation. But how did Jesus become a pioneer? The answer is that he did not just become one. He was made a pioneer through suffering. The King James and Revised Standard versions of the Bible say that God made him perfect through suffering. So then what the writer to the Hebrews is saying is that through suffering, Jesus was made fully able for the task of being the pioneer of our salvation, because only a suffering Savior could rescue suffering people. Christ has experienced temptation just as we do. He knows what it is like. Therefore, he is able to give relief or run up to us when we cry for help. And that's the kind of sympathetic Savior that we need. If Jesus had come into this world in a form in which he could never have suffered, he would have been quite different from us, and so no Savior for us. As Jeremy Taylor said, when God would save men, he did it by way of a man. It is, in fact, this identification with humankind which is the essence of the Christian idea of God. Through this identity, Jesus Christ sympathizes with us. He literally feels with us. It is almost impossible, dear friends, to understand another person's sorrows and sufferings unless we have been through them. Jesus knows all our sufferings because he too was a man. That is what makes him a perfect pioneer. Friend, can you be a pioneer to somebody today? I think I am talking to pioneers. Many of you are goal setters and goal getters. You have founded families and big organizations and companies, and even philosophies, and you are authors of blessings into which others are entering and benefiting. God has definitely called us to bless people and to provide leadership and guidance to others in little and big ways, and even to save people from various forms of challenges. But we can only do so effectively and enable people to achieve their full potentials if we identify with them. There are many people who are in pioneering positions and are far removed from the reality of those who serve with them or who are subordinates to them. Think of bosses who drive to their offices in luxury cars, spend time only in their well-furnished and luxurious offices, and return to their luxurious homes without ever trying to find out how the other workers of the organization are faring. No wonder people may work in the same organization, but there would be huge discrepancies in the paychecks, with those in high offices getting pay increases, while others don't even have salaries or live on peanuts and languish in abject poverty. Pioneers bless and save people. And if we fail to understand people's plight and how they are coping with life, we can never be their pioneers. And no pioneer with a sensitive social conscience would ever live with any degree of peace in an organization where the rich grow richer and the poor poorer. We need to know people, where they are in terms of their social and economic standing, before we can adequately help them. Dear friends, a person without a trace of nerves has no conception of the tortures of nervousness. A person who is perfectly physically fit has no conception of the weariness of the person who is easily tired, or the pain of the person who is never free from pain. A person who learns easily often cannot understand why someone who is slow finds things so difficult. A person who has never sorrowed can never understand the pain at the heart of the person into whose life grief has come. And a person who has never loved can never understand either the sudden glory or the aching loneliness in the lover's heart. Before we can have sympathy, we must go through the same things as the other person has gone through, and that is precisely what my Lord did. He understands our needs in an experiential way. For he himself had suffered being tempted, he's able to succor them that are tempted. A multimillionaire may enter the government and legislate for the poor, but undoubtedly the poor would feel better if the man framing the legislation had been raised in a slum, for he would understand better what it means to be poor and underprivileged. Well, I know what you are saying just now. You are asking me, Amos, are you suggesting that we should all go out looking for sicknesses to put in our bodies so that we can better understand how sick people feel, or that we must become poor in order to care for the poor, or that we must lose someone to death before sympathizing with those who mourn? That's not what I am suggesting. Rather, what I mean to say is that it is important for all of us to identify with people in their particular challenges in order to better understand what they are going through. We may do so by visiting people in hospital, by speaking to a subordinate in the office, in an organization, or asking a cleaner what matters most to them outside their job, or calling up somebody to pray with them in their time of need or when they have lost a loved one. Jesus knew and knows us, and that makes him a perfect pioneer. Jesus could save us because he was perfectly both God and human. He knows the particular need that you have at this time, be it sickness or sorrow or frustration and anxiety or hunger or thirst. He too has been there as a man. And because he sympathizes, Jesus can really help. He has met our sorrows. He has faced our temptations. As a result, he knows exactly what help we need, and he can give it us. He is the pioneer par excellence.
Of the throat cross, spread the
Lord, increase our faith that we may trust in you. May we move forward knowing that you are with us and before us. Give us a vision of who we are and what we should do. Help us, dear Father, to be pioneers wherever we are and in whatever we do. Gracious Father, help us to move towards your promised land. May your church work for the freedom of captives, for the release of those unjustly bound, for a more caring and peaceful world. Lord, teach us to love the world with the great love that you have for the world. Guide all leaders of people, strengthen the good, lead us in ways of peace. Grant sensitivity to planners and to all who affect our future. We pray for research workers and inventors, for all who influence our lives and minds, that our world may be kept in goodness and in beauty. We remember all who are fearful of the future. We pray for those who are seriously or terminally ill, for all who await a doctor's diagnosis, all who await operations or treatment. We ask you to strengthen all who are despairing, to encourage and hearten all who have lost hope. And Father, we give thanks for all who have passed through death and reached the fullness of the promised land. We rejoice in their fellowship and their triumph. We offer ourselves, our neighbors, and our loved ones to your unfailing love. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. The peace of the Lord be always with you.